This is a late night podcast where two friends talk about creativity, design, business, relationships, this kind of creative health kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we each take a turn hosting. So tonight, Los is going to host. He's going to bring some topics to the table. We're going to talk about them tonight. And I have no idea what's going on. Los, what are we going on tonight?
I want to talk about this topic that I earmarked about 6, 7, 8 months ago. And as I was looking for something to talk about today, I found it hidden away in my Flipboard.
Do it.
Jeffersonian dinners.
Late night.
Late night.
Late night.
With Trav and Los.
With Trav and Los.
Late night. With Trav and Los.
Have you heard of this?
Jeffersonian dinners. Are we talking about Thomas Jefferson? And maybe he would like invite some guests over and do like a roundabout discussion of getting to know you, or maybe like political topics or something?
Jeffersonian dinners.
He's a cool guy.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
Let me set some context.
Mm-hmm.
Of what it was like to go to a Jeffersonian dinner.
Yep.
Okay. Imagine being invited to a dinner. This is 1819 at Monticello. At the elegant Virginia home of none other than Thomas Jefferson.
None other buts.
For those of you that don't know who he is, he was the president of the United States.
Uh-huh.
Second or third president of the United States.
Were these dinners taking place during his presidency?
The entire time he was at his home at Monticello.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He was.
So, you said Monticello, not the White House.
Yeah, I didn't say the White House.
Was the White House built by then?
I don't know.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Don't know my U.S. history. He was scientist, farmer, mm-hmm. connoisseur, scholar, and none other than the author of the Declaration of Independence.
Let's take our hats off.
This guy. So around his table, if you were invited, you'd encounter some of the leading spirits of the age. Men and women steeped in politics, literature, the arts, the sciences, theology, history, mores and manners, people that Mr. Jefferson invited because he found them intriguing and delightful to spend a stimulated evening with. An evening like this was also a prime source of education
mm-hmm.
for both Mr. Jefferson himself and for the guests around the table, all of whom were engaged citizens, eager to share and debate the varied ideas that would shape the fortunes and spur the development of their rapidly growing young nation.
Okay, that's quite a preamble.
It is. And this was the original Jeffersonian dinner. And these dinners have been had by many people ever since.
Okay.
This is a new topic to me. I had no clue this was even
the idea of inviting the thought leaders basically to dinner.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
That's a Jeffersonian dinner?
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a Jeffersonian dinner.
They have dinners like that all the time.
I didn't know.
But like...
There's specifics to what makes a Jeffersonian dinner.
Is it like this the something about in the schedule? Like the itinerary has a specific Jeffersonian take on it?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm interested in.
Yeah, yes, there's a take.
Okay.
I need to set context for our listeners.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm just excited about it. Excited about this Jeffersonian dinner. So, mostly because I didn't have a really great dinner.
So before we get into the details of what makes a dinner,
mm-hmm.
there are some benefits of attending a Jeffersonian dinner.
Sure.
These benefits can be a great way to launch the creation of a new cause-centered community. It can also help you to expand the network of individuals connected with an existing community. And although money is not the central focus of the evening, it is likely that, in the end, this dinner can activate for more resources than a traditional fundraising event like an annual gala.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know this.
Okay.
So let's go into the details of what this dinner is.
Okay.
Okay? It's broken up into three parts. For those of you that want to host... This is also for you.
He's holding up three fingers.
Yes, there are three fingers, right? There's the planning stage, there's the during the dinner stage, and then there's the after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And these are where the details were fascinating to me. Planning. Invite 8 to 15 people with a common interest.
Right.
Right? These interests can be like music and kids, innovation and education, women's healthcare, design thinking and education. It's important to invite a mix of people, some who know one another while others do not.
Mm-hmm.
And then you must avoid inviting a big kahuna.
Avoid inviting a big kahuna at all.
At all. Like a celebrity, a CEO, et cetera. Because the goal is for everyone at the dinner table to feel equally open to contributing. Okay?
I like it.
You must choose a quiet location.
No kahunas.
No kahunas.
I think that's an interesting point, and I like it. At first I was like, well, wouldn't you want to meet some, you know, like heads of thought, like thought leaders there? Yeah. But
no kahunas. And then to get it going, you need to, this is all in the planning stage. You select an open question that is related to the dinner theme and encourages each person at the table to tell a personal story.
Okay.
For example, if we were at dinner that's interesting to us, it could be a question as such. What technology innovation in the last 10 years has most changed your life?
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Something that everyone can have an answer to,
mm-hmm.
and they can answer in 2 to 3 sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Remember, you have 8 to 15 people here.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So everybody has a voice.
Yeah. And then beforehand, you're going to solicit a brief written biography, 100 to 150 words from each participant in the dinner.
Oh, that's fun.
Right?
It's definitely an event.
It's an event.
We should actually do this.
That's...
Okay, sorry, I did like jump. I don't know. Okay,
and that's our podcast.
thank you.
And then, at the outset, before this happens, you send out the opening question and biographies ahead of time, so people will be ready to carry on the conversation.
Right. So you study up before you go.
So you study up, right? You give them like a pointed Facebook stalk, right? It's like, I am stalking for you about me. This is what you need to know.
Yeah.
Right. Here's an important one, is you need to select a dinner moderator, someone with a light style, but who can move the conversation around and stimulate discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's all the planning.
That's all in the planning.
This is like happens 2 to 4 weeks before the event happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now here's the fun part, is during the dinner. This is what happens. Travis was talking earlier about an itinerary. At 7 p.m. sharp is when the dinner starts. And this is when there's light conversation before seating, cocktails, hors d'oeuvres. You're letting people come to the dinner,
mm-hmm.
right? At 7:30, the moderator opens by explaining the ground rules. Here's the most important rule. There is no talking to your neighbor. The goal is to have a whole table conversation.
Oh, and so no side conversations.
No side conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been at a dinner table where it's been a whole table conversation.
You're right.
At this magnitude of 8 to 15 people
is a lot to have no side conversations.
Yeah. That's why you need a moderator.
Did you hear a recent Sean West episode where he talked about, I think it was called Unsolicited Advice. Did you hear that episode?
No, I have not.
I'm just going to say this. Listen to that. And then let's move on.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Okay, cool. So... The moderator at this point, it's 7:35, 7:40, 7:45, has set the ground rules,
mm-hmm.
right? The next thing the moderator will do is they'll ask each person at the table to respond to the opening question. So there's a roundtable response of one by one, you go around. What technology innovation in the last 10 years has most changed your life?
Right.
Because what's happening is when you get a lot of people here, you need to transition the conversation from me to us to we.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you start with me to get everyone on the same page. Like, talk about me.
This is my bio.
This is who I am. These are my viewpoints on the topic at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Then the moderator introduces a follow-up question to link the opening answers to the general theme of the evening. The goal is to move from me to us.
Mm-hmm.
And general goal, if this is a non-profit charitable event or non-profit association, it could be, how do we continue moving technology forward and introduce it earlier at a younger age in the public school system?
Right.
It could be a topic like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And once that happens, the moderator lets the discussion begin. The moderator will keep the conversation relevant, prevent side discussions from breaking up the table, and ensure that no one or two people are overly dominant.
Dude, I had this one, he was an engineering lead. I think he was a vice principal of engineering.
He was vice president?
The VP of engineering at one of the startups I worked at once. And this guy, you could say whatever about him, but that dude could hold a meeting. My favorite thing was just, like, I don't like meetings.
Right.
I'm notorious for, like, ditching meetings and, like, just, like, falling asleep in meetings. I would go to his meetings because I wanted to see him conduct.
You wanted to see him moderate the meeting.
It was amazing. If somebody went off for, like, 2 seconds longer than he deemed reasonable,
yeah,
he would go, okay, let's break that out. Next point. And then, and I was just like, like, it was incredible. This guy was a great moderator.
That's so good. That's good. It's important to have a good moderator.
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So 9:15 p.m. rolls around.
Mm-hmm.
You've been talking for an hour and a half. As a table, 8:15 of you, one conversation. That's amazing to me. I don't even know.
It's sustained for how long now? It's an hour.
It's an hour. It's uh-huh. an hour of that, right?
Wow.
So at 9:15, the moderator asks each person at the table to describe any ideas or thoughts they had during the discussion that they would like to follow up on or work with someone on or just think about more.
Oh, that's cool.
Right.
Because it just, like, it enables offsite collaboration.
Yeah.
It's a catalyst.
Yeah, yeah. And it follows the pattern of the arc. Everyone talks about me. Everyone talks about us. And then they talk again. And this is more in a we context.
Yep.
Right? 9:30, end of dinner. An informal and then informal one-on-one conversations usually continue.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what happens after dinner? Within 2 weeks, the moderator or the CEO of this nonprofit sends out a note giving the dinner participants contact information and summarizing the follow-up points listed at the dinner's end. They follow up over the next few weeks, helping people connect with one another and with the nonprofit organization if desired. Nonprofit leaders may choose to set up one-on-one meetings with the dinner attendees they thought were interested in the following.
Mm-hmm. That's a really great way to connect people to, like, what they're interested in. And
this moderator is an active person. Without the moderator, this doesn't happen.
Right. I think that's the key. This moderator is really taking charge of making sure that there's, like, practical outcomes of the Jeffersonian dinner.
Jeffersonian dinner.
Yeah.
So how do we make this relevant to us?
Go for it.
Well, I want to host one.
Like, I want some food. Is that why you put food in our podcast?
That's why I put food on our podcast.
There's the Periscope label I was writing: live podcast, creativity, design, business, hands clap, thumbs up, and Los goes, "Hey, write food." Okay, food, all caps.
All caps. I think this can be applied to school, work, or friends, and borrow a few ideas from the Jeffersonian dinner. I don't think it needs to be as formal.
Okay.
I think this would be
give
awesome.
Give me like a...
To go to.
Give me like a... Like, how do you imagine this playing out in anything?
So let's say work, right?
Uh-huh.
I work at a company that has about 200 plus people at my office.
Just in this location.
Just in this location, mm-hmm. right? There's cross departments,
mm-hmm.
right? And so the few ideas you would get from the Jeffersonian dinner is you would invite less than 14 people. You're going to sit around one table. You're going to have one question prepared, and there's going to be one discussion. Right?
You could do this.
Because in its simplest form, this is the point.
Well, I just had a really quick thought. Yeah. I'm not going to derail you, I promise.
Okay.
You could do this banquet style and have a lot of different tables.
You could have a lot
of different
tables.
Like, you could do this at a conference.
Right.
Like, this could be a conference feature.
And have multiple Jeffersonian dinners going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a banquet hall with 10 tables in it, you know.
10 moderators.
10 moderators.
You like have a debate.
Yeah.
Debates have moderators.
They do. But they don't have dinner. And I think that's what sets this apart.
It sets it apart because in its simplest form, the Jeffersonian dinner is simply a way to collaborate with a group of people you might not otherwise work with.
Yeah. And you're looking cross discipline, right?
Yep, cross discipline.
So, like, at the table, you don't want a bunch of designers. You want, like, a designer, an engineer. You want an architect. You want a food taster. You know, you want a movie critic. You want, like, things like that, right? You just want, like, just people who are smart in their field, and the field is generally applicable to what kind of change the intended outcome of the dinner is.
Yeah, and you want people that know each other and don't know each other.
I like that part.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think this was just, I thought this was fascinating.
It was fascinating.
And I've never heard of it. And this goes along with 1, 2, 3 weeks ago when I hosted the Loss of Thought episode when we're so busy with digital interfaces and chaos and noise that we forget to stop and think.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they had back in Jefferson's time. They didn't have these digital interfaces as distraction, and this was a manifestation of them thinking together.
This is what they did instead of stare at their screens. Basically,
Facebook stock, Instagram.
because there are elements of Facebook stock and Instagram built into this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like getting bios of everyone,
right.
Saying who are you, what do you do, mm-hmm. and then basically like, what are your hopes and dreams, I guess.
Yeah, and there's so much value that comes out of this meeting.
So give me an action plan. How could you set one of these up?
You as in Los?
Los. You want to do one. Let's just pretend you want to do one. How would you go about that?
I would find, the first thing is there a cause or something that I want to start? Or is there a cause or something that I want to get involved with?
Uh-huh.
That will better and push the community forward.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If so, awesome, that makes it easier. Right? Let's say hypothetically there's this program in Redwood City that is trying to get design thinking into early childhood education sooner.
Sure.
Right? Because design thinking is problem solving
uh-huh.
in a team environment. Right? And what are schools?
That's a great definition of design thinking, by the way.
Okay, good.
I mean, I know it was off the cuff, but it's pretty good.
All right, thank you.
Design thinking is problem solving in a team environment.
Yes. and what are schools, right?
I like it.
Team environments.
Yeah.
That are trying to be taught principles, et cetera, by way of problem solving.
I hear you.
Right? So let's say, hypothetically, there's this thing going on. Let's have a meeting of the minds of 14 different, like, thought leaders or parents of students
mm-hmm.
that are there, designers, developers, real estate, you name it.
Right.
And the topic is, how do we instill design thinking early on in the children's education?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I would take and find people at my son's school or schools in the county.
I wonder if... I mean, I wonder like what causes exist right now that would benefit from this type of Jeffersonian dinner.
Right.
And like, where would you find one, right? Like, you know what would be interesting is like going on meetup.com.
Yes. That was,
and
you took it right out of my mind.
Oh, okay. You want to go for it? Because I didn't really have a fully formed thought yet.
My only insight as I was preparing this and thinking through this is, where does this exist? And meetup.com has some of the goodwilled intentions of what a Jeffersonian dinner's purpose was.
It has a few of the ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
The goodwill, the themes. It has also disparate people that may or may not know each other.
Yep.
And usually they are knowledgeable or deeply interested in the topic at hand.
Yeah. So you can start forming a meetup called Jeffersonian Dinners. and keep it, you know, a wait list and have several topics and have people sign up. And then you have a moderator that once you have 12 to 14 people, you get it going.
Yeah, you'd think like, oh, a meetup, I need like 100 people. But like 12 people.
That's what you need.
I like that. We should try to do one, like a late nights Jeffersonian dinner. You know what I mean? And the topic doesn't have to be about design.
No. Nope.
Just because that's what our podcast is. It's just like.
And we can start with having a meaningful discussion with the goal of expanding the networks of those involved. Not even to solve or add to.
So the problem you're trying to solve is, how do we help these people to connect to each other?
Yep.
Yeah.
In a meaningful way that they will have one-on-one connections on the side and move forward.
So it's like a meet and greet dinner.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fun.
That'd be fun. I mean,
at the very least, it would be fun. How would you do something like that? Because like the third part of the Jeffersonian dinner is the follow up.
Yep.
So if it's just like a meet and greet, like what's the follow up component look like?
So hopefully, I don't know. You sent 2 weeks later. Say, hey, these are the points that we talked about at the dinner's end.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you guys to meet one-on-one and freely contribute to
something. It'd be largely dictated upon what was like,
what
people's interested in, what people's interests are and like what kind of topics have surfaced during the actual dinner.
Yeah. A lot of nonprofits.
What would you serve? That's the big question.
A lot of, I don't know, gluten-free. You need to have a gluten-free option. So that's the end. That's the end of my topic. I wanted to bounce this Jeffersonian.
Well, let me challenge you. Let me challenge you on this. Like, what are your next steps on this?
I didn't have next steps.
Is this something that you want to do, or is this something
this
you just want to talk about?
This
forget?
Is something that I want to participate in. I don't know if I want to host it.
You don't want to be a host.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what's interesting about
it. I don't want to moderate. I want to participate in one. And so if I could find a moderator to get it going.
You'd have to find a good moderator.
Yeah.
Well, I think what's interesting about the whole concept is that the scale of it is so small that it's manageable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're not talking about like, oh, how do I get 50 to 100 guests into a room?
Yeah.
It's like, I could host 10 people at my house.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
have
move some furniture around. Yeah. You can do it.
You can do it.
That's interesting. I think it's just finding the people and the topic mm-hmm. is the hard part.
Yeah.
Finding the moderator is an interesting question too. Because you have to be able to command a crowd, keep track of many things at once.
Have a friendly demeanor. So thank you for joining us for another Late Nights with Trav and Los. And I'm hoping that this was meaningful to you and you're inspired to host your own Jeffersonian dinner. And if you do...
Well, let me dive in a little bit about this. Because I want to make this as actionable as possible.
Okay.
So let's say the scale of 12 to 15 people is a little large. Let's say you have four people that you know are interested in a topic.
Mm-hmm.
What are some action steps that somebody could take today to... I mean, just take the spirit of this Jeffersonian dinner, giving everyone a voice, not letting anybody be a kahuna.
No side topics,
trying to be actionable, doing follow-ups. What could something like that look like? Could it be an email thread? Could it be a Facebook group?
I see what you're saying.
Could you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just spitballing here. Like, what do you think?
This is.
Do you think this has I mean, Jefferson.
Some applications
lived
like,
in a time where dinner was the social.
Yeah, this
medium.
This reminds me of the lane that you're going. Are book clubs.
Ooh, okay.
Book clubs do this, and there are online book clubs that do this. The Atlantic, if you're familiar with that magazine,
mm-hmm.
there's this writer called Ta-Nehisi Coates, and Ta-Nehisi Coates has a book club on The Atlantic where he has a moderator that moderates the conversation. In an asynchronous conversation on the Atlantic.
Right.
And this gives you a way to discuss with like-minded people on a like-minded topic and express and be heard and have a intellectually stimulating dialogue.
Do you partake of that?
I did for this book.
Oh, cool. Once. You read along and you're like, oh, I have it.
I went along. I finished the book and I participated about the first third of the way in.
Interesting. It was gratifying?
It was gratifying. It was mostly gratifying to hear others' opinions and ways that they thought about a book. I mean, that's the purpose of a book club.
That's the purpose of a book club, yeah. That's cool, man. I think that this the strategy of, you know, getting everybody to pitch in, everybody's equal, and having follow-ups and actionable items, I think that theme can exist on a multitude of different mediums and platforms, digital and physical. And I think the takeaway here is that, you know, look around you for a spot where you can have a meaningful conversation and try to, I mean, organize something like that if you can.
I like it.
Yeah, okay. Cool. So let's wrap it up. Thanks a lot for listening to Late Nights with Trav and Los. We have a Twitter handle. It's at Trav and Los.
Surprise.
And we also have a website.
Can you guess?
travandlows.com.
Oh, snap.
and that's it.
Yeah.
Good night.